And right now we chat to Peter Allam, talking about road accidents. Peter, very good morning on this Monday morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning to all our listeners out there. It's a lovely morning, a little bit overcast, but looking good, and temperatures are going to get up like they did yesterday. Lovely warm day yesterday, eventually. Our topic today indeed is road accidents. So what we have in that regard is I'm going to categorize it as such that it's road accident where there is an injury, where there is no injury.
Mm-hmm.
So they're two different types of attendances that you have to make.
Right.
So if we deal first of all with the one where there's no injury, it's quite simple and straightforward. You know, you see people have an accident and they keep their car blocking the road and don't understand. What you need to know there is that if it's not serious, the damage, and you're not arguing over who is at fault, you are then able to move your vehicles. But before you do that, you very definitely, in this day and age, need to take photographs of the spot where the collision is, photographs of both vehicles in it, a photograph of the other vehicle's number plate, a photograph of the other vehicle's license disc that should be displayed, a photograph of the driver's license of the other vehicle, and you need to get his address. If you've got all that info and there are no injuries and your vehicle is capable of being moved, yes, indeed, you can. Obviously, I'm not talking about with the accident is that bad that you cannot move it without a tow truck. But the point is, if there are no injuries and only simple little bang from the back, or, you know, you're turning at a robot or something and you both turn at the same time by mistake or something like that, you know, the definition of an accident is that it's not intentional. It's an accident. That's why it's called an accident. So where there's no injury, if you get all of that information, you're good, and then you can go straight to the police station or within 24 hours to the police station to report the accident. Very necessary. No matter how small or big an accident is, always make sure you report it at the police station. You know, so often, and I'm going to say that every single sitting I have at the small claims court involves a motor vehicle accident where the people have elected not to report it. The importance of reporting it is that you then pick up who the drivers are and all the like of it. So it's very important that you do report it. You don't have to proceed with it in any way thereafter. There's no danger that, you know, there'll be charges of negligent driving unless an investigation takes place and it's a real bad accident or something like that. It's only where you've got accidents that cause extensive damage that they may well charge one of the drivers. So no injury, you can proceed, you can remove your vehicles. That's quite easy. Then we go to the other one where there's an injury. Now, this is serious. No matter how big or small the injury is, if you've got someone trapped in a car or somebody who's got his arm broken or concussed or of that nature where the air bubble, whatever you call it, has gone off, you know, you need to then be extra cautious. You do then need to call the traffic officers or police to the scene so that they can demarcate the area. They in turn could be taking photographs, but one doesn't know if they always do. But once again, make sure that you've got photographs of the accident, where it is, both vehicles in, and once again, number plate, license disc on the front windscreen, and the driver's license of the other party. In those circumstances, it is compulsory to report the accident. So don't just think, you know, if the police come there, you need to get a CAS number, a CAS number, as they call it. So don't just take it for granted that, you know, the police were on the scene and the accident would be reported. There is still a duty on you to go down to the police station, report it, and, of course, you know, the form at the police station is a set form. Got driver A, driver B, whichever one comes first is driver A. I once had somebody tell me that driver A is the person that's innocent. The police choose that. I said, no, there's no such thing. driver, be it just the two drivers, depending on who goes to station when. So both of you get an opportunity to describe what took place, fill in all your details, fill in the details that you've been given by the other party. How often haven't I seen that somebody goes down to the police station and all of a sudden the name of the driver changes because the driver that was driving doesn't have a driver's license.
Right.
You know, make sure you ask for the driver's license. You're entitled to ask for that. You're entitled to ask for a copy of the identity document of the person. You're not getting to know who the person is. You know, you might see him at the scene of the accident, but if they go and put somebody else's name there, you'll never be any the wiser. Where there's been injuries, yes, the Road Accident Fund now comes into the picture. The first form that is compulsory is the RAFG form. Now, that form you need to fill in, and what it does is that you've got to fill in the particulars of the driver of the vehicle, that's you that has been driving the vehicle when the accident occurred, particulars of the owner, where the driver is not the owner, particulars of the motor vehicle. You know, you need registration number, make, model, year, color, and whether it's a truck or a buggy or a bus or a motor vehicle. And then you need, of course, like I said, particulars of the other vehicle or vehicles involved in the accident. And once again, you need the registration number, the name and surname of the driver, telephone number, surname, physical address, postal address. Once again, whether it's the owner or just a driver driving it. And then, of course, the calls for particulars of the accident. That was the date, where, time, which police station did you report it to will be on that form, very important. And, of course, the police reference number. That is the most important thing. Don't leave without a police reference number. And then, of course, the other important aspect is always to look around. You know, let there be an accident and all of a sudden you've got so many people, onlookers. Try and ascertain if any of them are a witness. And if you need somebody who says, yes, I saw it or whatever, or if there's a car behind you that's forced to stop or on the side, make sure you get their particulars as well. Because the particulars of the witnesses are very, very important. And that goes on to the form where you report it. Of course, the sad thing is that if somebody is dead, you need to report that more fully as well. With that, you know, either injured or deceased, you need to know the name, ID, telephone numbers, physical addresses, whatever, and also whether or not it was the driver or passenger, you know, if it's a cyclist, a pedestrian, all that type of info. So you need to get full information on what it is. And then very important as well, which a lot of people forget, is you need to ascertain as to the time of the accident and the conditions at the time of the accident. That is, whether it was dark or light, what the weather conditions was it raining, was it sunny skies, was it, you know, the sun coming up and getting dark, what is the visibility. The road surface, very important as well. Are you on a tar road? Are you on a you know, gravel road, or are you on a little two-track road made, as we see so often these days? And then you've got to know things like the street lights, whether the vehicle's lights were on or off, what you estimate your speed to be, all of that you've got to make sure that you've got. So you need to do a thorough note of all of these conditions. And then, of course, the RAF form as well just allows for a small sketch and then your statement as to how the accident took place. And all of that is expected to be declared by the driver, signed and submitted to the Road Accident Fund. A lot of people are under the impression that the police do that. Yes, they do to a certain extent do it, but the duty is on you to make sure that it has been received at the Road Accident Fund. You can look up the Road Accident Fund number and you'll find there, I'm not sure what it is, but I think there's a toll-free number where you can contact the Road Accident Fund, either toll-free or share call number, And you can check that it's been reported, or you can report it or get the form. They'll tell you how to download it. The other form that it needs to be filled in at a later stage, if there's an injury, is the Road Accident Fund, RAF1, which relates to a third-party claim form. Now, this invariably what will happen is that normally people will go to an attorney. The attorney will assist them in submitting a claim for the damages and medical expenses that they have experienced. So I'm not going to go into great detail with that particular form because, you know, it also, once again, it requires all the details that we've been talking about, you know, together with your bank details and things like that as to when they pay out the claim, particulars of all the vehicles involved, witnesses of anybody that's deceased. You know, they'll ask you about what is the position. Did you notice that the passengers had the seat belts? Was the passenger flung from the car and all that type of thing? So take a proper note of what happens at an accident. You know, always best, I always say to people, keep a little notepad in your car in the cubby hole with a pen so that if you have an accident, you're able to do that. Years ago, I don't know if they still do it, but the AA used to send you a little booklet with what to do at an accident. It's quite a nice form. You know, the important aspects that you need to take down. I will try in that regard maybe to see if we can't do a form way with yourselves and ourselves on it, that we can publish on the websites, on the Facebook chats and all over the show, something that you just can print in and see in your motor vehicle, because it's quite important. You know, at the scene, you stunned, no matter what happened, no matter how big or small the accident.
You rattled.
You don't think correctly. You know, you forget things, and that's why I think a little form that just says, you know, the important details, it doesn't have to be, can be just a only page that you print and keep in the cubby hole or wherever. Very, very important. So we'll put that together for us as well. But yeah, you know, it's there. That's it with an accident. It is serious. And you need to make sure that you're diligent in that regard. That's the word that I use there, because if you don't take down full details, you can find yourself in trouble. If you don't take photographs at the scene of an accident, you can find yourself in trouble. I mean, I've often had, I refer back to the small claims court, because the little minor accidents all seem to come there. Like I say, never a day when I don't have one. And a lot of time, you know, in fact, the other night, last week when I was at small claims, the people came in, and then the person said, "But you're not the person that was driving the car."
Wow.
So, yes, I was. She said, "No, but it was a male driving and you're a female." You know, and eventually I said to the person, she said, "Well, I'm the owner of the vehicle." I said, "Well, there was a mistake, obviously, because the name furnished was that of a male, or that of a female, shall I say, and the poor other person had no idea at all." You know, she said, "I don't understand courses, so I wasn't sure whether the name was male or female." I took down the name and the telephone number in good faith. So, you know, it just meant a withdrawal of that claim. Because I can't proceed in small claims court against somebody that wasn't the driver, they may be the owner. So, you know, you then have to join both the owner and the driver if they're going to dispute it. So, very important that your details are correct, and that you take pictures of the scene. In this day and age, there's no excuse not to take pictures with your cell phone camera. You know, in the old days, there weren't cameras, not everybody had a camera. But nowadays, you know, I think it's about 90% of all cell phones have a camera. So, yeah, very, very important. That's basically it on the accident.
No, Peter, very, very interesting. And, you know, the fact that I think all of us are on the road, I would say, virtually every day in some way or another. And, you know, one of those things that you also need to be prepared for. Very, very good idea. And funnily enough, I was thinking about it while you were talking. Is there not a standard form? And it will be great if we could collectively assist in distributing such a form on our platforms, that people can just print and keep in the cubby box. Because in the hopefully unlikely event of an accident, at least when you rattled and you're not quite thinking straight, you've got something that will guide you to make sure that you can get as much detail, if not all the details, that you need to be able to go forward.
Absolutely. We will definitely put that together. We will definitely do that. I know it's sort of a half week of a public holiday, but yeah, I will work on that.
Great.
Looking and make sure that we send something and you can have a look and see if you're happy.
Looking forward to that. And Peter, just a slightly more humorous note when it comes to, or, you know, to do with road accidents. And you're talking about how important it is to report an accident. Now, I've got a scenario where my mom had a little Audi 80, and this thing had bumpers that I think even a sledgehammer wouldn't dent. And anyway, the car was in perfect condition, no marks, no bumps, scratches or anything. And out of the blue one day, we received a call from the police saying that this vehicle had been involved in an accident and we hadn't reported it. So we kind of said to the police, but, you know, what accident? You know, there was no damage on the car. But apparently what had happened is somebody, it must have been in a shopping mall or somewhere in a parking area, the car was bumped. And the person who bumped the car didn't leave any notes saying, look, you know, our so-and-so bumped the car and blah, blah, blah. But they went off and reported the accident. But us unknowingly, or not knowing that the car had been bumped, obviously didn't report it. And months after the event, suddenly the police rocked up and said, you know, this is the story. They're investigating, or, you know, they're obviously closing their books or whatever they needed to do. And they wanted the other side of the story, but there wasn't one. But there was no damage to the car. But obviously somebody had been very diligent in doing what they needed to do, and they went and reported the accident.
Yeah. You've got to be so careful because, I mean, you can be charged with hit and run for something like that. You know, it's not just stops there that you didn't report the accident. But that's why I said as well, so important, no matter how big or how small, just report the collision so that you don't get into trouble like that later.
Yes,
the one you're talking about, you could then take photographs of the vehicle and just show that it's untouched and do a statement to that effect. I mean, how often don't we also see circumstances where, you know, accident happens and involves two vehicles, and instead of taking down, call it WCT778EC, they take down WWE or something like that, a wrong number. You know, in the paddock that the person's in. Or quite often as well, what happens, what we see quite often is that you get these hit and runs where somebody drives into the back of somebody, they reverse and off they go. And then you get a passenger behind, or not a passenger, a car behind that says, oh, that number is just driven off, you know, and they put it in their head, and by the time they write it down, it's different. So it can happen. We're all human. So exactly what you're talking about is very, very possible. And in fact, yes, I mean, you know, how often don't you hear of people in a... I mean, I've had a claim in the small claims court where a trolley, you could see it was the damage of a trolley in the shopping centre here at Vincent. Somebody had obviously brought it there and it had bumped or rolled into the vehicle there. And the people came, they took down the name of the vehicle next door to them and accused them of being the ones that caused it. But I never bought anything that would have necessitated a trolley. I mean, you came to me in small things and said, you know, on that day, my slips, I purchased a parcel at one of the stores and there's my slip. Why would I take a trolley? But the owner of the vehicle was quite convinced that that person had come with a trolley. He said he could see by the way the vehicle was parked that the trolley at the back of his do the ding on the back of the boot of the person's car. So you get people that, you know, think like that as well. Instead of waiting for that vehicle to come, because I took down the details and then thought he had a claim. And also, I don't think that we all take note when we park in shopping complexes of whether or not there are any dings on our car. When we come back, you know, you don't have to walk around your car and say, has somebody bumped me? Has a trolley hit me? I suppose we should be doing when we get our driver's licenses. It tells you to be cautious and to check your vehicle, the brakes and all the rest of it, but not done, I suppose,
properly as we should. But it's an interesting topic nonetheless, and one that sadly affects us all at some point or another, be it a little bumper bashing or just a scare or sadly something more dangerous or more serious. But Peter, thank you very much for the chat. Of course, it will be on our website later today as a podcast. And we'll chat again next week, and looking forward to some paperwork that we can upload onto our websites and Facebook to distribute to help our listeners.
Absolutely. No.
Great. Well, Peter, have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Cheerio
then. Thank you. Peter Allam with today's edition of Legal Eagle.